I can name three things. On page 19, if you have nothing better to do. Medrash Rabbah is an accumulation of sermons at least to 1600 or 1700 years ago. It is not a uniform compilation. It doesn't have one editor, but the part on Echa is one of the most ancient forms of the Medrash. And I'd like to, since today was a marathon day of learning, I'd like to finish off the last couple of minutes with a little piece over here. You will see on page 19 that the top portion of the Medrash has a heading, Echa Rabosi, that's the name of the book, Echa of the Medrash Rabbah, Pesicha de Hakime. This is the introduction of certain Chachomim. Remember that Echa starts off with a question, the age-old question, how was it possible? How did it happen? It is a legitimate question and it has to be answered. Before the Medrash starts to interpret every single pasuk in Medrash, in Echa, it gives you a psicha, it gives you a preface, the thinking of certain Chachomim to the word Echa. How in blazes did anything ever happen like this? Take a look at line 14, which has a beis at the top, Rabbi Abba Bar, at the beginning, Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana Pasach. Rabbi Abba Bar Kahana began as follows. It says, Mi hoi shechachom v'yavein ezoz, who is a smart man who can understand what went on? Tani Rab Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said the following. The famous Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai of the Zohar. How did it happen? You've got to understand the process. It's not just a political process. We Jews have to look at ourselves for self-introspection. Imra Isa, line 15, Imra Isa, if you ever see Ayaros, cities, towns, Nitlashos Mimakomom Be'eretz Yisrael, that were destroyed from existence in Eretz Yisrael, Da, I want you to know that if you give a good look, probably the town collapsed, Shelo Hichziku Bischar Sofrimu Bischar Mishnim, because they weren't capable of supporting the salaries that were necessary for Sofrim, and that doesn't mean a man who writes Sifrei Torah. It means here a man who teaches Torah, Ubischar Mishnim, and someone who teaches Mishnah and Gemara. Now obviously that doesn't mean Gemara, it means Gemara, it's implicit in Mishnah, because by the time Rav Shimon Bar Yochai writes, there still is no Gemara. There's just a Mishnah. But it means Mishnah Gemara in the interpretation of Mishnah. Shenamar, he bases himself on the pasuk Al Mo'avda Ha'aretz. You want to know why the land was destroyed and laid desolate? Vayomer Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it himself. Alozvomis Torah si, you forsook my Torah. And forsaking my Torah means that you don't have the ability to support the raison d'etre of a community, and that is to be able to come to a community and say that there are opportunities to learn Torah on all levels. Whether you're Sofrim, whether you have to learn a Chumash with Rashi, or what turns you on is only Nevi'im, the idyllic states of the story of Nevi'im, or Mishnah, which means Mishnah and Gemara. Line 17. In line with this, Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, Havo Mishalach, used to send as Shlichim, as messengers, Rab Asi and Rab Ami, the famous twin pair of Rav Asi and Rav Ami throughout the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael, the Yafkun, that they should leave their town and go out into, you know, out of town, v'yitaknun kir yisod ha'arad Yisrael, to be able to bring tikkun, to be able to bring rejuvenation to cities throughout Eretz Yisrael. V'havon alein lekayasa, when they used to come to a kirya, to a city, they would say, they would begin, they had a standard line, v'amrin lahon, they would say to the people of the city, Ayasulon Naturi Karta, bring for us Naturi Karta. So you know automatically that Rabbi Yehuda Anosi was a Satmar, right? Quer, finish. That's it. It solves the machlokas. Naturi Karta, bring for us the watchman of the city. I told you before, this. I don't know whether it was this morning, Lisa Sliwa, if she were a Satmar Chassidista, she would be the women's division of Naturi Karta, the guardian angels, okay? That's it. Naturi Karta. Bring for me, they would say, bring to us, introduce us to the watchmen of the city. Whereupon the people, seeing Ravami and Ravasi, Vahavan Mayase Lahon, they would bring to them Resh Matriso, the chief of police, Visantara, and the administrator, the mayor of the town. Vahavan Amrin Lahon, and whereupon Ravami and Ravasi, when they see the chief of police and the mayor, they say to them, Elain Naturi Karta, these are the watchmen of the city. Elain Charuvei Karta, these are the destroyers of the city. These are the politicians, they are the broch, they are the downfall of the city. I asked you for the ones who guard the existence of the city. Omru Lahom, so the people would say to them, all right, if the mayor and the chief of police are not the guardians of the city, all right, Maninu Naturi Karta, would you please tell us who the guardians are? Whereupon they would begin their campaign. Amru Lahon, they would say to them, Elu Sofrim U'Mishnim, bring me the teachers who teach Chumash and the teachers who teach Mishnayos, in other words, Halacha, Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, Sheheim Hogim, they are the thinkers, U'Mishanim, they are the teachers, U'Mishamrim Es HaTorah Bayomu V'Alayla, they are the guardians of Torah day and night because of the profession they have chosen. Al Shem Shenamah, because it says, Hogisa Bayomim V'Alayla, you'll dwell on it Yomim V'Alayla, and who else is there to dwell other than the teachers? During the daytime they teach and at night they have to prepare the shiurim. This is what you mean, working at Torah day and night. They are the guardians of the city. B'cheinu Omer, likewise it's said in Tehillim, Im Hashem lo yivne bayis, if you build a house, if you build a community, if Hashem, if the purposes, if the godly purposes are not behind it in all aspects, then shav omlu bonim bo, the town is going to fall, that's it, the building is going to fall. Further, Rav Huna v'Rab Yirmiyo, b'shem Rav Shmuel b'Rab Yitzchak Omar, Motzinu, we find Sheviter HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avodas Kochavim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to close his eyes to Avodas Kochavim. Remember, throughout the days of the first Beis HaMikdash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu used to have Jews who used to come, and he used to shuckle with Gatel and with Bekeshe, and you know what they used to do afterwards? They used to make a Christmas party to Avodah Zarah. And at the Christmas party, they used to serve glatt kosher and say brachos and bench. What kind of a choshech v'ol meshamshim birbuvia, what kind of a, what an ugly scene could that be? That was the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. A glatt, kosher Christmas party, December 25th Christmas party. I don't know that it was December 25th and Christmas, but it was on one of the chagos. That's the way they did it. It had to be glatt, kosher. And boy, oh boy, did they get filled up. Motzinu. Says Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, Shevikad Viter HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Avodas Kochavim. He kept quiet for a long while on Avodas Kochavim. V'al Gilei Arayos also. For incestuous relationships, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a very compassionate father and looked away. V'al Shvichas Domim, and also there were plenty of murderers in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. Murderers not only in the literal sense, but in the more devastating sense of Lashon Hara, as we spoke earlier this morning. The way the Gemara calls a son, a Baal Devova, someone who only could bared, who can only talk bad about someone else. Whenever he'd open up his mouth, he'd start cursing the next one. You never heard a word out of his mouth unless he was able to curse his enemy. Motzinu Sheviter, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was quite patient with these three things. But Velo Viter Al Ma'aso Shel Torah, he was totally impatient when it came to the despise of Torah, Shenemar al Moavdo Oretz, and he requoted the pasuk. You want to know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the land? For one reason. Al Ozvo Mes Torah Si, because they forsook my Torah. Al Avodas Kochavim v'al Gilei Arayos v'al Shvichas Domim Einksiv Kan. It doesn't say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed it for those three blasphemous averos. Eloksiv Kan Elo Al Ozvo Mes Torah Si, because they forsook my Torah, that's why he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, the first Beis HaMikdash. Rav Huna v'Rav Yirmiyahu b'shem Rav Chiya bar Alva Amrei, they looked at the pasuk differently. K'siv v'osi azavu v'es tarasi shem lo shamaru. Yirmiyahu Anavi indicts the people because of the Churban Beis Hamikdash for two things. Osi azavu, they left me, God. There was no way in the world that they understood my message, my challenge. They couldn't pick me up. They couldn't hear what I wanted from them. Osi azavu, they left me. And not only that, estorasi shem lo shamaru. When it came to my Torah, in addition to not being able to hear what I wanted of them, estorasi lo shamaru, they didn't observe my Torah. These are two separate entities. It is one thing to hear the challenge of God. It's another thing to keep Torah. Whereupon Rav Huna and Rav Yirmiyahu, in the name of Rav Chiya bar Abba, said, it's a famous quotation, Halavai Osi Azovu. It was the Rabboni Shel Olam saying, you know what? If only, Halavai, you leave me alone. So you can't figure me out? Good, you don't figure me out. Don't try to figure me out. You don't understand how I work? Good, don't. You can't say Baruch Hashem? Fine. You have problems with me? God is dead. Gesundheit. Halavai Osi Azovu. Forget me for a minute. But you know what? Torosi Shamaru. If only you would take the Torah and learn it and keep it. Mitoch shehayu misaskim bo. If you go ahead and just make this preoccupation, and here is the zingaru, hamor shebo, the incredible iridescent light, the beauty, the internal beauty that's in it, hayu machzir lemutav, will already get you back on the right track, and you'll already understand what the message of God is. This is the most incredible statement that I have heard in a long, long time, hamor shebo, the mor, the light of Torah. Let me ask you something. When you see that it's lifted by a person, and that's the Yiddish, that it's light, what kind of a pounce, what kind of a face does the person have? This is the way I walk around. Or you see a smile on his face.
Glowing.
We stop smiling. We stop glowing with our Yiddishkeit. We've all joined the Chumra of the Week Club. If a week goes by and we can't get some new insanity and some new non-kosher product, you know how we walk around? It was a wasted week. In Matistov, that's the way it was. I heard it on the streets of Matistov. If there isn't some new insanity, some new shaila, some new chashash, some new suspicion, some new pikvah, some new barb that you can throw at someone or something, then the week was wasted. We haven't grown. And what does he say over here? Hamor shebo machzir lemutav. When's the last time we smiled that we could come dead like a bunch of dying horses to Shabbos, to Kiddush, and smile and say, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. Oh yeah, I can breathe again. Okay? When's the last time you saw it? Comes Yom Tov with all the insanity of the economic pressures that we have, that we work and we overwork and we drive ourselves to the bone down to the last minute, that finally when you sit down Pesach, the first night you come to Maru, and you say, Mekimi Me'of Odol, that you burst out in tears and smiles with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Gival Geshrigen, I can break the syndrome. I'm finally no longer a slave, and I'm breaking it, no matter what. To hell with the office, to hell with the factory, to hell with the money that it's going to cost. When's the last time you saw frumis smiling? I'm not talking about people who don't know from Torah. Hamor Shabbat. This is probably one of Psicha de Hakime. This is probably one of the most wise insights into the whole tragedy of not Tisha B'Av, of the whole Torah existence. Gival Geshrigen. You wake up in the morning. You say Baruch Atah Hashem Gival Shelo Yasani Goy. Where is the Simcha? Those of you, I don't know how many of you are here when we talked about Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Chodesh Mesiva that we had. Where Rav Kook called Proste Frumkeit, low life kind of Frumkeit, where you just worry about some lifeless technicality here or there, and you don't begin to see the human dimension in it, the factor that can get you up in the morning and allow you to glow that you're alive and make it through a tough, back-breaking day, and at night be able to sit down and you're ready to die. And instead of dying away, you give one last smile and then you fall off to sleep ready to know that next day the sun will shine again. This is the Hamor Shebo, the iridescence, the glow, the inner glow of Torah, Hayar Machzir Lemuto, will already put us back on the track. We've all lost it, and I want to tell you clearly, the closer you are to these so-called enclaves of establishment Torah, the more we are in a danger of walking around like this, without a single shmechel. It's an incredible insight. When's the last time you saw someone come in and be able to smile standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Ah, Gebal. When's the last time you came to a simcha and instead of talking to your neighbor to give a shmechel, to give a smile to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Bol shachiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu l'zman hazeh. That I'm able to have another grandchild, I'm able to have another child. Whatever the case may be, I don't care what it is. When did you ever see that? The converse is true also, that if you can't smile, you can't shed a tear. We become so hard-baked. We have been so encrusted. It is impossible to shed a tear unless once in a lifetime. Rav Huna Amar, next page. Lemod Torah. Go and study Torah with any purpose whatsoever. Afal pi shelo lishma is mitoshul shelo lishma bo lishma. This is the famous, study Torah for any purpose, because if you really study Torah, even though you have ulterior motives, ultimately you're going to wake up to the fact that you study lishma for the purpose of studying Torah. What's going to wake you up to that fact? Hamor shebo. There is an iridescence, there's a glow over there that's going to bring you back. And as tough as life could be, Baruch Shechianu, Baruch Shechianu Mitzvah, Vitzivonu Lasok B'divrei Torah. It's the biggest mitzvah in the world that we're bound to Torah. Otherwise, you know what we would be like? Come home at night. What? First thing you do is you take off your shirt. So you got a sweaty, filthy, smelly undershirt, and you sit down to beer and potato chips. And it's either baseball season or the football season. And that's the way you're going to shikas achon. And you're going to fill up your belly to be a pot belly, and that's the way you're going to stay right over there in front of the TV. And after 50 years, what do you have? Okay? When you sit and learn Torah, and if you put the New York Post in back of the Gemara, you'll know the scores and the Gemara also. What do you think I did in Beis Medrash? Until the Dodgers moved out. But at least I had the Gemara in front of me, and the Rebbe came over to me and asked me, what did Don Lukum do yesterday? What did he do? It wasn't until 18 years old that I realized that there was a more Shabbat. There was some kind of iridescence over there that I had to start learning over there. Omar Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, b'chol yom v'yom, in the same vein, every single day, baskol, a heavenly voice, yotzeis mehar choreb, somehow emits, transmits from Har Sinai v'omeres, oy lohem labrios, oh you poor people, me'el bona shetorah, if you can only see the disgrace of Torah. And again, the disgrace is that we walk around with a bunch of faces that isn't even becoming for a drugged baboon, for a chimpanzee who just was built in love. To be able to, all right, you don't go around wait a minute, adarabah. Yeah, listen to me carefully. I was going to say something just the opposite. I'm changing my mind instantaneously. Do you remember a couple of years ago that there was a pre-Pesach campaign of the Jews for Jesus, and there was a zoom shot of a photographer taking a whole bunch of people, all normal, clean-cut people, and what were they all doing? They were smiling. Hamor shebo, they finally got the glow. They started to believe in Jesus. It's an incredible kind of a situation. No, we're not saying that you have to walk around like a bunch of moonies on 42nd Street over there and jump up with a smile of, we're not saying that. There's something more sophisticated over there. But let me tell you clearly that if anything brought the message home to a Yiddishkeit that is perfunctory, that is technical, that lacks the luster of what it's supposed to have, this is our law of the Haaretz, and that's the way, why we are the way we are. That we can't turn on other Jews, no matter what they call themselves, or no matter what they think they call themselves. That there is little admiration for so-called Torah Judaism, until a couple come along and start to smile, and give a glet and a warm handshake. You're a human being, and you're able to talk pair el pair, mouth to mouth, face to face, ponim el ponim, and all of a sudden the heart is converted back. This is what we call the Baal Tshuva. All of a sudden you're magnetized because of this radiating light. It doesn't exist today in the main. And we who live within the enclaves of Torah should know that the Pesicha Chakima, the wise introduction here, is that this is an occupational hazard of anyone who goes ahead and wants to be a Torah Jew. For God's sake, start smiling. And when you say Baruch Hashem, mean it and smile at it. Now, you don't have to be a bunch of smiling idiots to go ahead and walk throughout your life and smile at everything. That you're bleeding to death, how are you? Wonderful. Just great. Baruch Hashem, I'm bleeding to death. Isn't that nice? That's insanity. There has to be balance. There has to be balance. But I want to tell you something clearly. In European circles, there always used to be a letz. There always used to be a clown, but what kind of a letz? A person you knew that whenever you came to shul, you were going to hear some kind of good, heart-chuckling joke out of. You'll be able to laugh. Shachris Mincha and Musaf. And then came Ma'ariv, you were able to laugh also. It wasn't off color and it wasn't filthy, but there were those people. There was the shul's Shamis, and there was the town's the town's this and the town that, and there was the town letz. And somehow you were able to laugh at yourself. And you laughed at Baruch Hashem, you were a Jew, and be able to laugh at it. We don't have these things today. We truly don't have them. Do I say that we have to have them? I don't know. But one thing I do know, a little smile therapy, not necessarily laughter therapy, a little smile therapy, that Ashreinu Matov Chelkeinu Manoim Goraleinu, how fortunate it is we are that we're able to sit this way, gives an entirely different perspective on life. And it's fortunate that we're able to go ahead and in such a place pack a shul with people who are able to understand that Tisha B'Av, we're not only worried about the Churban, that we're worried about the future. When we speak about the Churban, intrinsically in the Churban, we're worried about the birth of Mashiach at the same time. That it's going to get better. It has to get better. And if it's going to get better and it has to get better, it's going to mean hard work, but we're going to smile over it. Because you smile over a task and you'll continue to do it. I hope I didn't belabor that point. Now, if you want to spend the last couple of minutes in higher education of all sorts, give me a rest. I think I put in a day.